All right, open your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll get started in prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's pray. Father, we just open up our hearts to you to receive the Word of God, the seed of the living God that can produce in us the image of Jesus, His likeness, His character, His patience, the fruit of the Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, now that you be our teacher, that you be our guide. Lead us into all truth as we hear your word today. I thank you for speaking to the hearts of your people, tearing down strongholds, replacing darkness with light, and lies with truth. In Jesus' name, can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Last week we shared with you about co-laboring with God through our confession. Do you remember?
Yeah.
It's only been a week. Come on. Just humor me. Okay. It's on the website. If you go there, we posted the message. This is co-laboring with God through our confession, part two. So we're just going to reiterate some of the verses we looked at last week and then jump into some new material as well. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God, no matter how many they are yes. Say yes.
Yes.
They're yes in Christ. And they are amen. And through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now he which establisheth us, and that's a long King James word, establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. We see here in this verse a couple of thoughts. I just want to pull them out again. That there are yes promises in Christ. Amen. Jesus came to fulfill a myriad of promises given to the nation of Israel throughout the old covenant. And Jesus came, he fulfilled that. He fulfilled all the yeses. And it says here in this verse that as we say amen, it glorifies God. Amen. When we say amen to the promises that Jesus came to fulfill, we bring glory to God. And secondly, in verse 21, it says, he establishes us. I won't use the King James word. It's too tongue-tied to say on Sunday morning. But he establishes us. When you say amen from your heart, there's something that happens in the spirit that establishes, makes a reality of that promise. Let me say the opposite of that. Until you say something, that promise is not established in your life. There's some a part for us to play. There's some speaking involved in it. We've got to say it. Amen?
Amen.
We do. Where there is faith, there must be a form of expression. Where there is faith in your heart, in the heart of any believer, toward the promise of God, there must be an expression coming from the one who's receiving the promise. Let me tell you what I mean by that. In this verse, we see here that we're called to say amen. That's an expression, is it not? So we hear the promise with our ears, our spiritual ears. We hear that God says something, for example, by his stripes you were healed. We hear that with our ears. We express our faith by saying, amen, by his stripes I am healed. That's an expression. There are other forms of expression. So verbal isn't always the fullest expression of faith, but it's very common. Whenever there's faith, there's usually words. But there's other times when there's faith and there's steps taken on our part. God tells you, go this way. So you step out in faith. So sometimes it's not words, but a lot of the times it's words. But our response is sometimes it's just stepping out or making advancement. God begins to give you a desire to start a business. You go out and look at, you know, you go to the library and research, what does it take to start a business? That's you stepping out in faith. That's an expression on your part saying, I believe what God's telling me here. Another expression we see in the Bible, which was very silent but very sobering, was when Abraham raised the knife above his son Isaac. You remember? God told him, sacrifice your son Isaac on the altar. Abraham didn't say much, but he raised the knife in faith. And the Bible says in Hebrews, it says, in effect, he did sacrifice his son, even though God stopped him right before he plunged the knife into Isaac's chest. So raising the knife was, there's another example in the Bible of a form of expression of faith. Speaking of expression, let me say this about water baptism. Again, why I'm so excited about today. In Jesus's water baptism, we see a three-part production play, if you will, by the Godhead. This is the only case, well, that I can think of, that we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost on display. Wasn't it great? Yeah. Jesus got into the water there with John the Baptist, and I almost said creepy John. He got in the water with John the Baptist, and the heavens opened up. The Bible says that a voice spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son. So God the Father showed up. And then Jesus, in a human, earthly, bodily form, stepped into the water, went under the water. He allowed John to dunk him in symbol of his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what Jesus was acting out. And he didn't need to be baptized because he was a sinner. You understand that? He was being baptized as an indicator of what he was about to fulfill in his life as the Lamb of God, the death, burial, and resurrection of himself. And then we see the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. It wasn't a dove. The Bible doesn't say it was a bird, but it was like a dove. In other words, gently. The Holy Spirit came down gently upon Jesus, but visibly enough that John saw it happen. Amen? So that's one of the coolest things in the Bible. At Jesus' water baptism, it was no boring ritual ceremony. It was powerful. The whole Godhead showed up. Amen? It's the one time on earth that I can think of when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost were there present in form where they could be sensed and felt and heard. It happened at Jesus' water baptism. So water baptism is an amazing expression of faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, you're in Corinthians already. Just flip over to chapter 4, verse 13. When we first began the church 9 years ago, the first business card we had, this was our logo. We pulled from 2 Corinthians 4:13. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, quote, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Our logo used to say, we believe and therefore we speak. Amen. This verse here is pulled from the Psalms. This was a quote that David made in the Psalms. It's actually, if you go back and look at it, it's kind of funny how Paul pulled this verse out of context, because David said something almost in the negative. I believe, basically David was saying, I was getting ticked off at the sinners around me, and that out of the frustration of my heart, I spoke. But Paul pulls the verse into the New Covenant, and he says, we believe, therefore we speak. In other words, faith is always accompanied by speaking. And what happens? Look in verse 14 when we do this. We believe, therefore we speak. Verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and present us with you. Listen, don't always take the promises in the New Testament or in the Bible in general as being future tense. You can have this experience now. If you believe and you speak, Jesus will raise you up. Amen. We know what this verse is saying, that God will raise us up at the last day. Amen. Talking about the resurrection. But you can be raised up now in this life as you say amen to the promises. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Not just a someday thing. Listen, when you and I got saved, the first part of our life that God commandeered was what? If you kind of followed the typical charismatic church track, you got saved, you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and what happened? God got a hold of your mouth, your tongue. The very first part of your physical body that God gets a hold of as a new believer is your tongue. Why is that? It's so important. Well, James said, look at over in James chapter 3, several books to the right. You got Timothy's and Hebrews. James is almost right there before the book of Revelation. Now listen, I insist that you turn to it in your Bibles, even though we put it up on the screen. If you have your Bible with you, don't be lazy. I won't let Ben make you lazy just because we got new software. I love having the software, but I want you to turn. I want you to see it. I want you to mark it. I want you to circle it. I want you to highlight it. Both, okay? So it's great. This and your Bible. Praise the Lord. All right, James chapter 3, look at it with me. James chapter 3, verse 2 through 4. For in many things we offend all. How many of you can say amen to that? If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. James says here, if you can control your tongue, you can control your entire body. So why does God want a hold of our mouth? Because you can steer the whole body with your mouth. Amen? That's what he's saying here. Look at verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, or one translation says rudder, whithersoever the governor listeth. I like it in the NIV here. It says, wherever the pilot wants to go. Listen, strong winds in your life do not have to drive you. Amen. If you know where your rudder is. Where's your rudder? Right here. That's your rudder. That's the rudder God gave you. And if you'll yield that rudder to the Holy Ghost, if you'll yield it to the Word of God, you can steer your life contrary to the driving winds, the prevailing winds of our culture around us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's true. You can steer your life. That's what God is telling us here in the Word. Later it talks about how the tongue can do a lot of damage. Well, on the flip side, the tongue can do a lot of good if it's yielded the right direction. You can use it as a rudder to steer your life. And God knows that. And that's why he says it is so important. Listen, someone might argue, hey, just because you said such and such promise of God doesn't make it so. In other words, you hear Christians talk about, you know, it's not mind over matter. We don't believe in mind over matter. Well, that's true. Saying it does not make it so. It is so. And our saying enables it to become reality. Let me say that again. Saying it does not make it so. It already is so. If it's in this book, amen, the promises of God, it is so. In the spirit realm, the unseen realm, it is so. And our release, our verbal agreement with it, authorizes its manifestation. If you're taking notes, I think that's really good. The Holy Ghost gave it to me. I'll read it again. Our verbal agreement with it authorizes its manifestation. What do I mean by that? God has given man authority in the earth. Yes. This is why we hear a lot of frustration among Christians. You know, how come so-and-so didn't get this? Or this didn't happen for so-and-so? Well, the question might be worth asking, did they authorize it? Your words authorize God's work in your life. Amen. Amen. We believe, therefore we speak. Wednesday night I taught about mercy being released. You know, in the old covenant, people would beg for mercy. David, all through the Psalms, would say, save me, O God, have mercy upon me. And I believe Jesus, the Messiah, who came in the new covenant, is the fulfillment of every one of those prayers of David. Every time David cried out for mercy, Jesus said, just be patient, son, I'm coming. When Jesus came to earth, when Jesus died on the cross, he was God's mercy released, unleashed upon mankind. There's never a question again, will God have mercy on me? See, mercy could go 50-50. And we have a sense in our human psyche that if I'm pleasing to God or if he'll show favor to me, his mercy will be released on me. But if he's in a bad mood today or if I've ticked him off, I might not get it. I'm telling you, you got it. Amen. Calvary is proof you have it. God poured it out through Jesus at Calvary. That's why the new covenant is so much better than the old covenant. There's no question of if. There's no question of will we get mercy or will we not get mercy. You got it. That's right. And that's why the psalmist also wrote in Psalm 118, 24, this is the day the Lord has made. Now, he wasn't just talking about Sunday or Friday or a particular calendar day, 24-hour period. He was talking about an era. He was talking about a dispensation, a release of God's mercy and favor through the new covenant that would begin a new day. How many of you know we're living in that new day? Amen. You need to be certain of that. And in your certainty, say something. In your certainty, say something. Release your faith in the goodness of God. Amen. Look at Hebrews. We're just in James, so just turn to the left a little bit. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. We've got a lot of verses to cover here, but I'm going to try to go quick because we've got to pray for the kiddos. Hebrews 3, 1. We read this verse last week. It bears repeating. It says, therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, who is the apostle and high priest of our profession. Look at the next verse. He was faithful to him that appointed him. I want you to notice in the King. Do you have that in the King James, James? Ben? Yeah. Good. He was. Let's go back to verse 1. Click. Very good. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Last week we said that the word profession means, in the Greek, it's the word homologia, which means?
Same thing.
Same word, or same. Say the same thing. Homologia. We are called to profess, to say the same thing about our life that Jesus says about our life. Amen? It doesn't say that he's the high priest of our, he's not the vending machine of our profession. He's the high priest of our profession. Amen? And our profession is the saying of the same thing. What God says about you, you say about you. And I like the first part of that verse in the King James. It says, partakers of the heavenly calling. Partakers. Let me put it this way. Professors are partakers, not like a professor at a college, but professors, confessors, amen? People who say become what? Partakers. On the flip side, if you don't say, you will not. Come on, help me out here. Yeah. When you say, you partake. If you don't say, you won't be partaking. professors are partakers. So in a sense, Jesus is there in heaven, and he's standing before the Father, or sitting. Actually, the Bible paints the picture clearly that he's seated at the right hand of God. And so as the high priest of our life, he's sitting there saying, I can just see him saying these things like, they're healed by my stripes. And we're here on earth, and we read that in 1 Peter 2:24, and we go, by his stripes I'm healed. And boom, there's power released. Amen. Yes. All of a sudden we become a partaker of that which Jesus has provided. He says with his mouth before the Father, they're made rich through my poverty. And we see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, which says, though he was rich, for our sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. And boom, when we say it with our mouth, power is released in our life. Amen. Our finances begin to change. You get your car paid off. You get your house paid off. You begin to get ahead in life. Amen. How many of you want to be ahead instead of behind? It's a good thing. Jesus stands there or sits there before the Father, and he says, they've been calmed by my wounds. And we read in Isaiah, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And we say it with our mouth, and we say amen to the promise. And boom, peace is released into our life. Amen. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. What you confess, you will partake of. Amen. There's a part for us to play, saints. We got to get this tongue active. Amen. Yes. Not going to let you be lazy on this one. I made a note of this. Heavenly realities of our redemption are voice activated. The heavenly realities of your redemption are voice activated. Your voice. Your voice. Jesus provided it. If it's in this word, if it's written, if it's promised, and it says here, he did this for us, then it is voice activated to release it in our life. You've got to say something. There's a part for you to play. As I said earlier, saying it doesn't make it so. It already is. See, in the spirit realm, it already exists. There's been numerous people that have gone to heaven and said the same thing. People that have come back from an out-of-body experience, they've said, God, the angels of God took me to a place, and they took me to a big building. It was like a warehouse. And I looked in there, I'm thinking, what's all this, you know, what is this room full of this and room full of that? And God said, it's all the blessings waiting to be released here on earth. Folks, there's warehouses of blessings waiting to be released upon our life. You've got to say it to partake of it. You've got to confess it. What Jesus says, you say. Homologia, same word, same thing he says about you, you say about you. Now turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians 13, a couple books to the right, left. I'll get you going the right way here. 2 Corinthians 13. This is a very, very important truth in this chapter. 2 Corinthians 13, 1. Paul's talking to the church. Read it slowly with me. This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. We're talking about you agreeing with God. In the mouth of how many witnesses? Two or three. Every word is established. Well, over in Psalms, Alan, would you put that verse up for me, please? Psalm 119, 89, it says this. 119, 89. Mm-hmm. You see it there? We'll come back to it. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is what? It's established. How is the promise of God or the redemptive work of Jesus, how is it established in your life? You've got to say something. God has already spoken. God has spoken. It's you and God. Amen? God wants to co-labor with us. Are you with me? Now, Jesus has done all the hard work. He bore the stripes. He took the nails. Amen. He took the thorns in his brow. Jesus took the hard part. We just say yes to it. Yes. We agree with it. And in the mouth of two witnesses, you and God, that thing is established. Amen. We said last week that there's still time between now and the end of 2021 for you to bring in a harvest, a spiritual harvest in your life. And this message, the Holy Ghost is trying to provoke in you and I an activity that will help bring in your harvest. And that activity is speaking. Amen. Did we find it yet? Psalm 119:89. You may. It was there. It's there, folks. We'll find it. It's hiding. If we can't find it, we'll turn there in our actual Bibles. Oh, there it is. Forever, O Lord. Thank you, Ben. Forever, O Lord, your word. We're still getting, this is a very complex, sophisticated, awesome software, and we're still getting up to speed, so give us time and patience, please. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. God's word is settled there. There's no question about it there. Amen? The question is down here. And we said last week, our lives are surrounded by voices. That if we could put on special glasses, you could see airwaves all around you. You could see television waves being beamed in here and Wi-Fi, all kinds of signals. They're surrounding us at this very moment. It's almost like that picture in James where he said this ship is tossed about and the winds are driving it. But what will steer that ship? The rudder, that very small rudder. And that's your tongue. You don't have to be driven by the winds. Folks, this if there's ever a day and age where you and I need to turn off the telly, shut off Netflix. Amen. Close the iPhone. And hide yourself away in this book. It is this hour. Amen. We've got more distraction in our life screaming for our attention than any generation I know. And Paul said this. He said, you are they, or we are they. This is what he said 2,000 years ago. On whom the ends of the earth have come. Wow, I think he missed it on that. Here we are 2,000 years later. But I really believe we are they on whom the ends of the earth have come. Amen. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. We've got some speaking to do here on earth. Amen. Satan comes, and his whole strategy is to divert your tongue. To cause you, to warp your God-given ability to activate authority here on earth, to warp that and misuse it for his purposes. Let me give you an illustration. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. Oh, you're there. 2 Corinthians 4. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:8. This is a real practical example. 2 Corinthians 4:8. I'm reading it in the New International Version. We are hard pressed. Say hard pressed. Hard pressed. On every side. Not just one side. Every side. But not crushed. Let me say that again. Paul said, we have this sense. He's talking to the Corinthian church. He said, we have given our lives for you. Paul's in his defense because these Christians have turned their back on him. He's given his life for the church. He didn't even charge him. He came in. You know, ministers have the right to receive an offering when they come to minister the gospel. That's a God-given right in the Word of God for those who have given their life to the ministry of the gospel. And Paul says, we didn't even charge you, you Corinthians, when we came to you. He's not saying it ugly. He's just saying, this is who we are. This is our heart. We lay down our life for you. And he says here, we had a sense when we were ministering that we were hard pressed on every side and yet not crushed. You ever had that feeling? Like everything in life is pressing against you. You know, things aren't going well at work. Things are a little chaotic at home. Your neighbor's kind of ticked off at you for this reason. Everything. I mean, Paul said, we are hard-pressed on every side. And the enemy will come to you and give you that sense so that with your mouth you will say, I'm being crushed. Or, in your mind, you've already accepted it as a foregone conclusion. I'm crushed. Defeat. That's what he comes to do. He'll come to you with that sensation that everything is collapsing around you in your world so that you'll say it with your mouth. And once you release those words, what have you done? You have just authorized his work. Complete. Crush him. Amen? That's his whole strategy. It should show you how powerful you are, believer. Because he can't do a thing in your life without you cooperating. Satan, if you're a blood-bought child of God, born-again Christian, he has no authority to touch you. Right. Except for what you give him.
Amen.
Through your words. See, words authorize. What you say, you authorize. Say that out loud with me. What I say, I authorize. What you say with your mouth. So what will he do? He will bring a hailstorm. H-A-I-L and H-E-L-L. A hailstorm of circumstances around you to change what you say. You've been confessing the promises. You got a great word. You were in an anointed service and some prophet stood up and gave you a great promise from God. You went home, "Woo, I'm fired up." And come Monday morning, man, the storm has been released and everything seems against you. And Paul said, like Paul said, "I am hard pressed on every side." But Paul knew a secret. I'm not crushed. In other words, grace will keep me afloat. Even when I feel like the devil's going to sink my boat. He cannot. Unless you say something to authorize it. See, words have the power to liberate. Words have the power to enslave. So he'll get you to say things like yourself, about yourself, like, "I'm just terrible at such and such." Now we say it flippantly, and I'm not trying to go overboard with this, but just hear me. When you say things negative about yourself, you're empowering that negativity in your life. Hey, let's change that around. Why don't you say something positive? Why don't you say what you want? If you don't like your harvest, change your sowing. Jesus talked about in Matthew 18, the concept of binding and loosing. He said, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. How do we do that? Our words. Our words. Our words bind things. Binding is the idea of tying up, restraining, holding back, loosing. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. God wants you free, child of God. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that describes us leaping about like calves let from the stall. Well, I don't know what that feels like. I've never been in a stall, like, because I had to be there. But a calf obviously is happy when he gets loose from the stall. There's a stall. He's liberated. He's free. Amen. And that's what God wants in our life.
That's right.
So keep your words going that direction.
Yes.
Amen. Use your words to bring freedom to your own self. Okay. The devil's strategy is to get you to, in the legal profession, they talk about this idea of self-incriminate, right? If you're ever in an auto accident, they tell you, don't get out of your car and go, "Oh, I'm so sorry, it was my fault," right?
Yeah.
You're never supposed to say that, even if it was. Why? Because your words authorize something. Your words release something in the situation, legally binding, right? Same thing in the spirit. Satan wants to get you to self-incriminate. I don't care how bad you feel about yourself. Just don't say it. Okay? If you have to get on your phone with your faith buddy, your wife, your best friend across, you know, the United States, say, "Tell me again what Jesus said about me. I'm just not feeling it today."
Amen.
You do that.
Amen.
But don't say the other.
Yes.
Or you'll bind yourself, which is what the devil wants. Mm-hmm. Remember, who was here on earth first? Who was given authority on earth first?
Man.
Let's don't forget, he's a homeless angel. Right? He's a fallen angel without a home. Now, he's very tricky. He's very crafty. That's not to minimize his ability to deceive. He is very crafty. We give him that. But we have the right to be here. Amen? Amen? We're called to change our world, change our life, change the experience we have to establish something. I love that word that's coming out today, just a continuation of last week, establishing. God wants to establish. It's that idea of a harvest. It's a continual thing that's supposed to happen in your life and mine. Why? Because we continually are sowing words that release the life of God, that release redemptive work in our life. Amen? Jesus did it. We are free to say it, and that's what establishes it. Amen? To the glory of God. That's what the scripture says. I love what Reinhard Bonnke said. This is a famous quote. You may have heard it. He said, "God's word in our mouth is just as powerful as God's word in his mouth." God gave him that revelation that when we speak the word of God by faith out of our mouth, it is just as powerful, equally as powerful as when God speaks it out of his. That's the extent of the authority we've been given in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's true. What you say in Christ in response to these promises, when it's released out of your mouth by faith, it's just as powerful as if God said, "Let there be light." Let there be, you fill in the blank, whatever it is you're believing God for in your life. When you say, "Let there be such and such," you are releasing that blessing into your life. You're releasing, you're unleashing the heavenlies to make a reality in your life of that thing that you just spoke. Amen. Amen? If it's in this book, you have a right to speak it. In fact, you have an obligation to speak it. Amen? If he did it, we have an obligation to say amen to it. As Brother James says, our tongue is the rudder of our life. So before we bring the kiddos in to pray over them today, why don't you stand with me real quick? We'll get the seventh inning stretch going here. And we're just going to say a few things in the spirit. And maybe some of you here today, you need this more than others. But these are just good basic confessions that we ought to be making on a daily basis. Amen. I've got about six or seven of them here. Just solid rock verses from the New Testament that are true of you and I. If you want to close your eyes, lift your hands to heaven and say this in faith. Don't just say it don't just be a parrot. Okay, I'm not asking you to be a parrot today. I'm asking you to release your faith for these declarations. In 1 John 4:4, he says, greater is he. Say that with me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Hallelujah. He said in the word in Romans chapter 8, he said, I am more than a conqueror. Say that. I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. Yeah, that's good. Here's another one that says in the scripture in the book of Corinthians, he always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Amen. Say that with me. He always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And here's another promise from Romans 8. All things work together for good for them that love God. Say that with me. All things work together for good for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Amen. That's us. Another one says in Psalm 23, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Say that with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There we go. Sorry, my echo's not working real good today, but we're getting it. Praise the Lord. Listen, folks, if we ever lived in a time when the shadow of death is casting its ugly paw across our nation, our world, and it's trying to get you and I to say something. I'm scared of this COVID. I'm terrified for my health. I'm concerned I should wear a mask or do this. Listen, I will fear no evil. Psalm 23. Last year was Psalm 91. I think Psalm 23 is really good for this year for us. If you need to soak your mind in that. And one more. He says in Philippians 4:13, say this with me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Say it again with faith believing. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. Praise the Lord. When you say those verses and many others like them with faith in the goodness of God and in the truth of God, your saying doesn't make it so. It is so. It already is so in the spirit because Jesus put you there. Amen. Jesus made you more than a conqueror. You can do all things through the grace of Jesus Christ. Think about it. You know, I often do. When Jesus was whipped to shreds in his back for our healing, and then they asked him to carry this, you know, 100, 200 pound, whatever it was, massive tree to the hill of Calvary. Humanly impossible. Why? Because Jesus was whipped, I believe, more than any other man. It was a redemptive work. Jesus took a beating like no other human's ever taken a beating because it was redemptive oriented. There was no way he was going to get up that hill with that cross. So what did God do? He brought that man from Cyrene, right? Simeon, I think this was his name. What is that? It's the grace of God. You can do all things. You can make it up the hill if you have to. God will bring someone into your life to help you carry that cross up that hill. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Hallelujah. Amen?
Yes.
Praise God. What you say, you authorize.
Yes.
What you say, you authorize. Remember who was in charge here first. We were. And we're called to reign in life in Christ Jesus. Amen? Praise God. You can be seated just a moment real quick. We're going to bring the kiddos in here. At this time, we're going to pray a blessing over them as they start their school year. Hallelujah. Keep playing. Calling all children to the front. Praise the Lord. You have a word?
As you were ministering, I was reminded of a word the Lord gave me some time ago, and I saw vignettes of the goodness of God, His provision and healing and all sorts of things, every promise that God is, but there were strings attached. And I thought I was not seeing properly because strings attached sort of sounded like a trick thing. And the Lord said, no, there are strings attached to your lips. Mm. And those strings are what activate those needs Praise that you Lord. Have. I That's already right. have it for yes. you. I'm already yes. for you. Yes. I already am what you need.
Amen.
But your lips have to say yes. what it is yes. so that I am authorized
Praise the Lord.
To release that
That's
in
right.
your lives.
Amen. Amen. That's very scriptural. Thank you, Judy. Yeah, you know, God says, whosoever will. God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe on Him. Will you? The question is, will we? I love that the kingdom is open for whosoever's. Amen? You don't have to be anybody special. You just have to be willing. You just say it. Praise the Lord. I hear kids in the room. Come on up here, kiddos. Face me. I want you to line up here facing Pastor Scott, okay? Just line up. Just come all the way down here. All right. Praise the Lord. Oh, and even Eden. All right. Praise the Lord. Come on up here. All right. Come on up here. Is this Jackson? I hadn't seen your new glasses. Hi. Praise the Lord. All right. We're just going to pray a prayer blessing. She needs mama. Yeah, just mama can stay up here with us. She'll be good. Good to go. Hey, kids, I understand you're about to start school, right? Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, soon you will. In a week? Okay. Oh, boy. You need lots of prayer, huh? So we're going to pray over you that God will help you to learn, that He'll give you good friends, and that He'll keep you safe all year long.
Okay.
You what?
I.
Hmm?
I.
Oh, okay. All right. We're going to pray. Can you believe with us? We're going to pray over you. Pastor Scott's going to pray a prayer blessing. Just stretch out your hands this way, everybody. Come on, let's bless him. This is part of our church ministry. Amen. This is what we do. And I don't want today to be the last prayer you pray. When you think of these little guys at school throughout the school year, continue to pray for them. When you see them around here, run around each Sunday after church, remember to continue to pray. Father, we just pray a prayer of blessing upon each one in Jesus' name. We thank you that they have good friends, that they have good teachers, that they're kept safe in Jesus' name, and they grow in wisdom and in understanding. We ask your blessing, Lord, right now upon them this year, that they will grow in wisdom, that they'll grow in understanding, that they'll grow in knowledge. And we thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus covers them, covers their life, protects them. We speak protection over them. We thank you that you'll keep them from evil influences, from bad friends. You'll give them good friends, good influences, good teachers. And we thank you that you caused them to grow this year as never before. And they're blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Stand together with me. You have power in your mouth. The question is, will you use it? I hope you will. And as I said, there's still time between now and year's end to go ahead and do one more harvest. I used the example last week over at Froberg's. If you ever drive by there, throughout the year, I drive by every time I go to work. I go back and forth by there. And I noticed throughout the whole year, they're either harvesting, planting, or nurturing something. Amen? If they just harvested something, they'll till up that land and get it going again for another harvest. This is our calling, saints. To constantly be harvesting with our words what God has promised us. Amen. Say what God says about you and see the harvest come in. See it established in Christ Jesus. Amen. I want to bless you in Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you that the promise says in your word that the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. And we say yes and amen to it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you go. Eat a quick lunch and then come join us by the poolside for the baptism. Praise the Lord.